Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, welcome to the Full Time Devils podcast number 3. I am back with Andy, Jay and Abdullah. We're here in FTD HQ to talk Manchester United. Obviously, we're in the middle of an international break at the moment, so it's all gone a little bit quiet apart from England doing not so bad. Loads of United players dropping out of international duty with injuries. Paul Pogba breaking some ankles playing against Iceland yesterday. It's not been a bad international break, but can't wait for the real stuff to return. How you doing, guys?
Fine.
Yeah, good mate. Good, man. Good. I'm like, I'll be glad when this international break's over.
Yeah.
Just a bit
thought we
boring.
Needed it a bit.
We did need it, yeah, but I'll still be glad when it's done.
It came at a good time, but obviously we've... Hopefully these injuries aren't players that have got worse injuries. Rashford pulling out, Anthony Martial pulling out with injury. A few other players, hopefully they're focusing on their recovery for Manchester United because we've got a big game coming up this weekend. Need to be at it.
Yeah, it's a tough one, Watford, as well. People just dismiss it. I was like, oh, it's easy, it's Watford. But
Watford away is always a worry, but when it's home, I don't know.
You'd expect us to win, obviously, but like you said, you just got to sort of get back to winning ways after the couple of games we've had as well. And it's just a bit deflated.
With the fixtures this weekend, we could be third place, our giant third place, because Liverpool are playing Spurs, aren't they? So it's a big game for United, and it's an incentive there.
I know, but I still hope Spurs win. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, we don't want to catch Spurs, Andy. No. We don't want to catch Spurs. We want them to beat Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care.
7-0.
That's irrelevant. Fuck it.
I think that's a league decider, that, for me. That, because if Spurs beat them, then it starts to crumble for me at Liverpool. But if Liverpool go past Spurs, I just see them winning the league. That's how I see it.
Really, I think
City will drop points. They will drop points. They drop probably at least 3.
What we're gonna do? Give them on a silver platter. Yeah, we'll give them on a silver platter.
We might have to. All right, would you take this?
What
if we win the Champions League? We win the Champions League.
If you start any sentence with "if we win the Champions League," I'm gonna accept it.
I'll take that.
All right. I'll say that. Yeah.
What's the point?
I'll
finishing the sentence.
Yeah. No matter what.
Liverpool win the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
Yeah.
About it, right?
Because then we'd laugh at City for thinking they're gonna win the quadruple.
Yeah.
And then we go and win that.
We'd outshine Liverpool. Liverpool win the league 1 week.
Trust me,
and then a week later we win the Champions League.
Of course we would.
We'd be the best team in Europe.
We'd
be the best team in Europe.
People forget City won the league in 68. No one talks about that. They talk about United winning the Champions League or the European Cup, as it was.
It would eclipse City and Liverpool, wouldn't
it? Of course it would.
If we did that.
Especially the season we had. We were having.
City win 2 cups, Liverpool win a league, and we win the biggest one.
Yeah, because if Ole comes in and wins a European Cup, which is definitely happening, and because then we can kind of say, oh, we would have won the league if it weren't for Mourinho.
Yeah.
Can't we? Like, we've got that argument where but obviously we're looking way ahead of ourselves.
Do you think we beat Barcelona and we're sort of favourites in that?
No.
Because then we would have beat PSG, Barca.
Then we got Liverpool.
I still...
Hey, don't rattle off little Porto, you know.
No.
What if we get past Barca? I'll take Porto.
I couldn't take the nerves of a doubleheader against Liverpool.
I think we'll beat them.
It pains me to say, I still think City are favourites.
Oh, they are favourites.
No.
3-1 to win the quadruple.
It's Ronnie, isn't it?
It's bloody ridiculous, isn't it?
That just goes to show how football's not what it used to be.
I don't like the feeling of the anniversary of the treble and they could be winning the quad.
Yeah, but on the plus side, once this FFP thing comes in, they'll probably get half of them taken off them anyway.
They get
so.
Points deduction and all that, but apparently some of it won't come in until the summer. So that'll be funny for Liverpool fans, won't it? If City win the league, but the points deduction comes in for next season.
I hope we don't get a points deduction this season. That's the last thing.
But then again, if they get the FFP stuff and they win the quadruple, everyone will be like, but you cheated.
Well, you can dock lower clubs like Birmingham City, but they'll never dock a Premier League club point. Yeah, they'll never welcome.
Talking about docking points and all that, they'll have to. They've been talking about, obviously, this racist issue, which has been going on recently. Yeah. It reared its head again in Montenegro.
Yeah, last night.
Which is not surprising. I'm not surprised. Don't think anyone in this room is surprised. No. Racism's always going to be a thing. But do you think they should dock points for things like that? If 100%. They can do it for financial irregularities, should they do it for racism? Or is that a societal problem? Is that a football problem?
For me, I don't think docking points necessarily is the answer. I think you need to get strict with the people that are doing it. I mean, I remember Danny Welbeck getting monkey actions towards him off that guy at Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and the guy didn't even get a ban. You know, there's the other guy that abused Raheem Sterling. I don't know what's happened with him. We see these people doing these things and they might get a ban, they might get a slap on the wrist. A lot of the time they don't. And I think if you come down on them hard, lifetime ban. It's that simple. I'm not saying you can't go to the game and shout at players. I've shouted abuse at players. Never racist abuse, but I've abused players and we all do it. Let's not pretend we don't.
We've all done it because it's your rivals, isn't it? Yeah. We've all done it.
You know, and to a certain extent, nothing wrong with that as long as you don't become racist or homophobic.
You don't cross
whatever.
The line, it's rivalry.
But I just think if you go into a game, I don't want to sit there and listen to it.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, the players themselves.
But the thing is, when it's in crowds, for example, like last night at England, and then you look at West Ham with Mo Salah, Millwall as well. That was like a big crowd doing it.
Didn't a player?
And that's for me. That's where like there's a stadium ban. It has to come in. I don't care if like 75% are not doing it. The 25% are. That's a big majority of your fans. There was a whole stand doing it at Millwall. You can see it was literally the whole stand.
Yeah.
And
is that where you think it should?
That's
start
where people
with
are gonna stop
stadium closures and punishing fans.
You have to, because
like if it happened at a United game. And a handful or someone, like I've never heard racial abuse at United, which I'm thankful
for. To be fair, I have once.
You, a bit longer in the tooth than me.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard a few things, but this is going back a few years. But the most recent one, once I heard something towards Nani.
So if that happened, well, that was a one-off. We all got a suspension.
Yeah.
Would you think that's fair? Like, what would you think?
No, that's why I think if someone's guilty of it,
Well, that's what I'm saying. Someone's different, but when there's an actual like big group of fans doing it in the ground, then that's clearly a problem.
The reason I ask this is because, like, whenever something like this happens, like I've been driving in, listening to the radio, and they're all talking about what action we take and all this, but then that same radio station had one of their presenters yesterday being racist to Asian people on live on air. So then it's also like, you look at clubs. Clubs say they're going to get serious with racism. Liverpool defended a racist. Chelsea defended a racist. United employ a racist.
Yeah.
So I just feel like whenever racism pops its head, people think it's cool to say things and make statements about it. When reality, they're as guilty for not dealing with the issue themselves.
They were pushing the issue. All those papers now that are sticking up for Raheem Sterling this morning, they were the reason it's led to that. A lot of those Montenegro fans must have known that obviously how the media are, and you must have seen it over the summer with some of the black England players. And then they've taken that as well and they've sort of started doing chances. Because
remember when Rooney got sent off there?
Yeah.
They did it then.
Do you know what though, Maka? You're right, the hypocrisy just amazes me. You know, papers like the Daily Mail, who went after, I mean, let's face facts, right? Sterling played for Liverpool and he plays for City. Which can't think of a player that I must dislike more than her. And I find myself sticking up for him all the time.
I love him.
Because first and foremost, we're all human beings and we see it. And he's just getting abused. And it's not fair what goes on with him. He gets targeted. And we all know what it is. And all this bling nonsense. He buys his mum a house.
Because he had a tattoo last year before the World Cup. Banning, and the papers, you know, and all this
rubbish. And you're right. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's out of order because some Montenegro fans have racially abused him. But you're feeding that. I'm not saying you're feeding the Montenegro fans, but you're feeding that racism. You're feeding that prejudice. And then you want to, you know, like you saying with the presenters on a certain radio station, 1 minute he's being racist towards Asians, the next minute they're acting all sanctimonious about racial abuse. It does. You can't have it both ways. You can't. You're either one side or the other, and you need to take a stance completely and say, right, we're dealing with racism completely and we're not having it, or don't get involved when it happens. You can't have it both ways.
I don't think it's a football issue. I think it's a world, it's a life issue.
Society.
But I think it comes out in football, because just like at Millwall, it was probably a bunch of fans that go to games together that went to the pub, probably chanting the same stuff. And it's just from where they're from, or that's the way they act outside the ground. So it's a bigger thing than just football. We see it.
Millwall's one. Do you remember when they played City? Millwall. They brought like 4,000. You remember, Andy?
1999. We were going to. I was United. Were on the way to Nottingham. City were playing Millwall. United were on the way to Nottingham Forest in our treble season, and then the Man United fans got off at Stockport and had it out with Millwall, and the Millwall fans caked themselves seriously, and they still carried on to Manchester, and they trashed the Curry Mile, Main Road.
They brought a few little
slackers. Millwall, they have their own song, Nobody Likes Us, but it's their attitude, isn't it? The club are trying to clamp down on it, but you always have that bad core element.
But then what was done? Do you know when that thing happened in the stand? I don't remember seeing anything being done about it.
Hate this thing as well, that's they're not proper fans. They are proper fans.
Yeah.
Like they are. You know what I mean? You can't. Well, they're not. Like, if that happens at United, we can't say, oh, they're not United fans. Because they are United fans. It's obviously not every United fan or every Millwall fan or every West Ham fan thinks that way. But
do you know what?
When you play each other, it's all different.
I think it sort of needs to come from the top down, though, not the other way around. Because I think if you're setting an example, right? If one of your players is accused of racism and your example is to wear T-shirts in support of him, how then can you expect your fans to take racism seriously?
Yeah.
When you're setting that example, when you're employing someone who racially abused a player and you're making him your commentator, how then can you expect your fans to, shouldn't be racist, but how then can you sort of preach to your fans when that's the example you're setting?
Yeah, West Ham fans last month for Mo Salah at the home game with Liverpool, wasn't it? I heard about that.
Yeah. This is what I mean. It's like, you know, there's so many things you can have a go at these players about. You're just thick if you bring race into it.
If you look at the example with Suarez as well, so they never give him a fine afterwards. Oh, well, sorry, they give him a fine, but they never give him a ban. Like, what a fine's going to do?
Chelsea gave Terry a fine, didn't they? A fine.
That's why I like what Rio Ferdinand did when he said, I ain't wearing a Kick It Out t-shirt. I don't support Kick It Out, because I don't either. Like, I just think they're just a waste of time.
This weekend in Brazil, somebody walked off the pitch. I seen it on the news over the weekend. Somebody walked off the pitch because he was getting racially abused.
I remember that, actually. I forgot.
Yeah, he walked off the pitch, and I don't know if it might have been a European lower league.
It happened to Koulibaly in Inter Milan, Napoli, and he got a sending off because he was hearing racial abuse, but he was on a second booking and he was like screaming to the ref, like, can you not hear this or something like that? And then apparently the ref thought that he was just having a go at him and he just gave him the second yellow and sent him off. Do you get me?
If that happened in a Premier League ground, would the club be punished, the player, if it happened to him? Sterling walks off the pitch. Would he get punished?
I don't think he would. But the thing is, he'd have players and his manager saying, get back on the pitch. I don't think it should be up to the players to have to deal with this.
They don't have to.
The players well with his rights to walk off the pitch.
You don't have to walk off to make this needs to be something done. Players don't have to walk off to prove a point.
I would have liked to have seen when that player walked off, the whole of his team walked off.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, you know what I mean?
Solidarity.
What did they say? Oh, okay, cool. I hear what you're saying. Let's go.
Yeah.
But when that happens, maybe you can make a point. But when it's one player, manager's probably just going to think, manager's not even in a vicious way, he's going to probably just sub him. I need a player out there.
Do you remember Macca? Do you remember the England women's team when there was all that race? The coach and they all ran over to the players to support him, and then it found out tonight he had been racist. What sort of an example is that?
Yeah. And they were victim vilifying her as well. Was it Annie Alucard?
Yeah, you're right. And it was like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's depressing. It's a shame we've got to talk about this, but it's life, I suppose. You're never going to get rid of it from life, but you'd hope that when it comes to football, it wouldn't be playing a part. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from racism. Not that we can, ever. Not this face, hey, anyway.
You know what I mean? good luck with that, Macca.
Sancho's been spoken about a lot this week. I know Steed in a video talking about him this week on Full Time Devils as well. That was a late night upload. What happened there?
We had a football match, Macca. Some of us had to go and play in it. You didn't turn up. Too busy.
Nick.
Hey.
Late night uploads.
Yeah.
After his cheeky porn obsessions, he released upload.
Delete
Sancho
content.
He had a pretty good game for England in the first game. What have you guys? Do you guys think these rumors are based off United fans simply just wanting him?
I think it's a mixture. Or, so the media have looked at United fans wanting Jadon Sancho, and they've obviously upped that. But I think there could be a bit of interest. We do need someone who can play out there on the right, and he's played there a lot for Dortmund this season. I was doing a bit of research on him yesterday, and like, he's already matching the goals and assists, or he's actually eclipsed what Ousmane Dembele was doing. And he's at Barca. He went to Barca for 100 million. And you look at the assists that he gets, he can take a corner brilliantly, like just his general playmaking. And it is something that we missed. And I feel like he drives the ball. He's a lot more direct than even Martial at times. I think like Martial's got to take a player on or once or twice, you know, before he does anything. And I think he is something different. It's just that I think we haven't figured out a system yet at United, which is a worry though. If you bring him in the summer and you've got to play a flat 4-3-3, you've got to play Sancho, Rashford, Martial. But what if that system isn't going to work for the rest of the team? And that for me is why I'd wait one more summer. I wouldn't mind taking him, but I personally think we need to figure out what.
I don't think he'll be at Dortmund next season.
The only
thing I'm fearful of with him is just the expectation that's surrounding him. Like I genuinely believe if you sent Tahith Chong to Germany, or you sent Angel Gomez, or you sent whoever, they, fair play to Sancho, has been doing fantastically well, but they would tear it up as well. Mm-hmm. And the thing with Sancho is we never see when he has an off day. We never see when he has a stinker. We never see when he has a mistake, because most of the things we see are just highlights and clips and show reels and all that stuff.
You have to be watching
when he come to you, if
week
he,
in, week
when
out,
or if he comes to United or the Premier League, he would be under scrutiny every single game, 90 minutes of the game. The first time he hits a cross that goes out for a throw-in, he's a flop. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, the pressures will be completely different then. We saw it with Pogba, the way that public opinion changed of him when he became a United player.
Well, it was within seconds of Pogba playing for United, they started digging him out.
Southampton at home. I got home from that game, went on Twitter, and was just scrolling through. And at the beginning of the game, some of the tweets were, what a waste of money, after his first pass went astray.
It's mental, because he actually had a good game against Southampton, I remember.
Yeah. The thing with me is, I don't know, man. Dortmund, something going on at that club. Other than maybe Aubameyang, I don't think players often shine when they come over from there.
We had Kagawa.
Mkhitaryan,
you know what I mean? I don't know, it's a funny one, the German league, and I just think that you can flatter to deceive a little bit. I get where you're coming from, Abdul, when you say give him another season. The problem you have with that is, if he has another stormer, does he suddenly become the darling signing that everyone wants, and then we have to face a Barcelona or a Real Madrid to get him, and he chooses them over us, which is feasible. So it might be now or never in this summer.
I guess,
if we're given a choice, yes or no, I'd say yes, get him.
I'd rather him than a Gareth Bale.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, yeah.
Not that I'd be against Gareth Bale coming United. Go on,
no, God, not Gareth Bale. He's past it now, mate. He's really past it.
I don't know, you know. I think if Gareth Bale was in a United shirt, you'd be buzzing.
Yeah, the Gareth Bale of a few years ago, but not now.
But Gareth Bale, look, the only thing I'm against Gareth Bale is you probably have to still spend 100 million for him.
Yeah.
The thing with Gareth, 29. If we could get Gareth Bale for, say, 50 mil, which is cheap in this day and age, but you're not going to get him for that. If we could get him for 50 mil, he would have a point to prove to Real Madrid because of the way that he's left, not because of what he achieved there. And he's back in the Premier League. So he'll be like, new challenge, I want to win the Premier League, etc. So, but I'm just scared that we end up with another Sanchez.
That's what I'm worried about. I think he's become a lot more of a goal scorer at Madrid recently. So that's his new role. He's, I think we've got like direct players in terms of striking options like Rashford. But with width, I think like he sort of just wants to get onto goal all the time. Whereas I think we still miss like a creative hub there in midfield and in that attacking line. I don't think he brings that creativity as much. It's more about like getting the goals and
I still want to back Sanchez. I really do. I still want to back him.
Really?
Yeah, really. Because you see what he's done. Because you know, any United player who comes here doesn't do it. They go to another club. Where's that been? They'll just turn it on like a tap.
I don't think that happens with Sanchez.
I just think with his age, football is the amount of football he's played and the games he's been involved in. It just seems to have caught up with him a little bit.
Yeah, he's played in like major tournaments the last 3 or 4 years, and last summer was his first. Was his first offer in a few years.
I've heard stories of like when he was at Arsenal towards the end, all their players were happy that he was leaving because of the way he was around the team and stuff like that. And then you kind of get the same feeling at United that no one would really be asked if he left.
I think as well, United, it's got that sort of young, vibrant sort of, I know it upsets a lot of people, but having a laugh together and, you know, like we see it with Rashford, we see it with Pogba, even like the likes of Herrera joining. You know, there seems to be that sort of atmosphere of everyone getting along and having a laugh, whereas he seems to be a bit of an outsider, which it can be okay.
His dog's him.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Eric was a bit of an outsider, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're an outsider and you're not playing on the pitch as well, and you're on more money than everyone else,
yeah,
it's not a great combo.
Terry Sheringham and Andy Cole never spoke, yet they worked it on the pitch beautifully.
Yeah, but they did. You're right, they did. And but I think that their sort of issues with one another, they got on with everyone else. I think with Sanchez, he just doesn't really get on with anyone.
I think...
That's not to say they hate him.
No.
But that's to say that he doesn't...
I've heard this during the summer. A member of his family was kidnapped.
Right, okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. No, this is back allegedly. This is back in Argentina.
He's not from Argentina.
In Chile. Yeah. I remember in South America, a member of his family was captured and kidnapped, and it took a turn for the worst.
Right.
He lost a relative.
We need to verify this. We're going on like Vlad TV, man. What's going on? Is this world star?
But regardless of
personal issues,
I just don't think he fits in this team. I think he loves to bring the ball into midfield and look for options in terms of that's the creativity that he has. But it's usually coming on Paul Pogba's side. Unless you're going to knock the ball in behind to him, I don't think his movement is that great off the ball. For us anyways, from what I've seen. I think that's the only way you can play him, and he's not doing that for us. Any other way where he likes to bring the ball into midfield, dwell on it, which he does a lot, and then look for a pass, he does lose it a lot. We've only got space for one player to do that, and for me, that's Paul Pogba. I just can't see him fitting in right now, you know.
Well, if he scores a brace against Barcelona, I'll be loving him, I tell you.
Yeah, them scores. That's well said, yeah.
Even a summer.
Maybe. I agree with you, and I think he goes far too deep looking for the ball.
Yeah.
He goes. I've seen him on the edge of our own box.
He's been training hard. You can't deny his training since Christmas.
I don't think it's effort or anything like that. And I think I like a player who wants to make things happen, and he does try and make things happen, but he's just lost that spark. Yeah. And I think some of his passing is just miles away from where it needs to be.
You've got to look what we've got miles in our team.
I do remember the Liverpool game, Paul Pogba having a go at him because he wasn't tracking back. And Sanchez was like, you know what I mean? But Pogba was really laying into him. You could see it on the pitch.
That's not a good combo, is it? If you got them two at each other. Because Sanchez does like to shout at others as well. Notice that.
Yeah.
He's not a shrinking violin.
If Sanchez shouted at me and I was playing for United, I'd just think, shut up. Like, who are you telling, like, anything?
I think under Mourinho, he probably got away with it more. I think that was a sort of Mourinho liked that about him, that sort of winning mentality.
But he uses
the
ball so much.
But
it's sad watching.
We've only got one space for.
Now, to be fair though, Mourinho did not play him right as well. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it was weird because I looked at Sanchez when we got him and I thought, yes.
I thought, in fact,
Manchester United player written all over
him. I thought he was a little lucky. He come in and he got played on his favoured side on the left.
He should have got played on the right.
Yeah, he should have got played on the right, but I'm saying that he got played where he was playing at Arsenal, where his favoured position was. Obviously, he played striker at times at Arsenal, but Pogba was then on the right side of that defensive midfield and Mike on the left, so there wasn't a clash. But then he pushed Martial out the tide. Martial had just scored against Burnley, Everton and Stoke. Had three brilliant games. I think that's where we sort of like our league started. And I think that's where the Mourinho thing happened. Actually signing Sanchez. A lot of people say about Sevilla, but I think that's where it spiraled out, because you had to play this guy that you're paying a lot of money for every week. But you've pushed Martial out the side when he's just had a brilliant run of form. Everything in the side's going really well.
Cost him the World Cup as well, didn't it?
Yeah. So, he clashes with the likes of...
At the time, yeah, can I just say, I was right at that time as well.
Wow, what do you mean you were right?
I was saying Mourinho has lost his head.
Mate, you're one of the ones that's saying that.
I was saying,
how
can he be dropping Martial? Like, what the hell's going on here?
You hated Martial. You said we should have bought him. You said he was a waste of
money. He's Martial FC, Adam.
I am manager of Martial FC.
He's
the head secretary of the fan club.
One day you'll realise that.
Tony, one day.
Yeah, but Sanchez's not going to work, basically. That's just not going to happen. That's it.
So you're making a Pogba rumours? We spoke about these last week, didn't we?
There's more coming out about him not wanting to
sign. You're going to get silly
rumours. Mino Raiola just tweeted saying that any news coming from me on Facebook or LinkedIn is fake. I only have this account. So I assume that's where some of the rumours have came from.
Mino Raiola's got a lot to answer for, and I think Paul Pogba will leave.
I think he'll leave. I don't think he'll leave this summer.
I do. I think he's got... Mino Raiola,
you think he'll leave this summer?
It wouldn't surprise
me. That's the league gone.
He's 26. He's 26.
League's gone if he goes.
I think he's got one massive transfer left in him, and I think this summer's probably the optimum time for that to happen in terms of what United can get for him.
United has to demand 200 million at least.
That might happen, you know. I know that sounds crackers, but...
Break Neymar's record.
The player that he is... what he brings
to the
team.
There's your title, Nick. 200 million for Pogba.
200 million for Pogba. Yeah.
Stop making the
phone. Thank you. Hey, we should have it by tomorrow. I'm only joking.
But if you sell Pogba this summer, we're not challenging for the league.
I think it'd be a massive mistake to sell him. But I think that some of the decisions that the club make...
When is director of football coming in? When's
financial
it coming
decisions?
In? They need it. This director of football for the summer.
I don't know, mate.
I think Pogba's doing it for a new contract. I don't think he'll be at United to the end of his career. I do think he'll leave. And I think he'll move probably when he's 28, 29. But I think for the next season, at least, he'll be at United.
I want, personally, one more season out of him. Mm. That's what if he left the end of next season, I wouldn't be happy about that. I'd be a bit gutted. But I could live with it. I don't think he necessarily has to spend the rest of his career at United. I just think, you know, I don't know if he's been misquoted or I don't know if this is just rumours, but I read somewhere like he feels like he's achieved what he set out to achieve at United. That's nonsense. We've won two trophies since he's been here,
yeah,
I think.
Right.
The League Cup and did Europa. Really,
but the thing is, I doubt he's even said that.
I know. That's nonsense, though. I think we need, for Paul Pogba in this team, we need to be challenging for the title while he's there. And I think next season we can
that's
do that.
That's a big point that people miss. When they talk about Pogba and where he could potentially go, I think it comes down to where we are as a team as well. I think a lot, even with David De Gea, I'm starting to get squeaky about him now. Yeah. Is he going to leave this summer? I don't think he will again, but like we've got to show ambition. I remember when everyone got into Rooney, when he was saying it back, was it 2010?
Yeah,
that's a point.
When he was saying that we weren't challenging and we weren't showing ambitions that these big clubs were. And you look at Pogba, you look at De Gea, they deserve to be challenging for the title. They deserve to be challenging for the Champions League.
People forget that. When Rooney said those things, and I don't agree with some of the things that Rooney did and the way he acted, and I think he's played footsie with City, which tainted it for me.
Yeah.
But you had City going out, buying the likes of Aguero and David Silva. You know, is that...
Yeah,
be somewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm not to be anywhere. He's
got to have his tablets.
Hey, you got, yeah. You had like City buying the likes of Aguero, buying the likes of David Silva, and Fergie and United saying there's no value in the market. We're not going to spend that sort of money on them players.
That was sad time, that was.
And it was nonsense. It was madness, and it's madness we've never really recovered from.
Oh, man. I just don't
we
know.
We are 5 years
board.
Behind in the terms of transfers, seriously. Transfer windows, we've slammed.
You know what happened? Yeah. When Fergie went, we...
lost Gil.
Just chucked loads of money at it. No, it wasn't...
We didn't chuck no money at it.
No, we
bought Fellaini.
Bro, we spent a lot of money.
The first summer. Like,
forget the first. But what I'm trying to say is, it wasn't calculated. It wasn't... City had a plan.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, even... Liverpool and the Klopp have had a plan.
Yeah.
United
don't
never, ever had a plan. you, that's epitomised in the first summer. We hear Moyes coming out now saying that he had Cruz agreeing to join, and it's like, shut the fuck up, David.
He had an helicopter on standby for Bale.
Tom Cruise. Not Sony.
David Moyes had joined Scientology.
I think it all links together, you know, with like the Pogba stuff, and he's probably seen if the club have the desire to like go into the transfer market, buy the right players to build the right team, and they have a structure and a plan, like Adam said. And if he's not seeing that, and you've got to look at the situation that Madrid are in, they've just hired Zidane back and literally just given him the keys to the club, said, do whatever you want, whatever money you want to spend.
If Varane's available, that'd be a good signing.
It goes back to like what Andy was saying about director of football. Who's making these decisions? Exactly, an investment banker is making these decisions. Who's targeting these players?
What does
who's
he know saying, about football?
Yeah. Who's saying, no, we're not going to buy that player. Yeah, we are going to buy that one. Because it's Ollie's only come in a few months ago, so
it's
not down
to him. Sorted a director of football out yet? All this talk sort of died out as soon as we started doing well. But
this could
we're
be
not going to forget.
I do think people look at David Gill in the past and kind of look at it with rose-tinted spectacles. He messed us over a lot in a few deals, missed out on some big players as well.
Still did a good job though.
He did a good job, but I think part of that was he had Fergie next to him. I do think we look at him. I think he was better than Ed Woodward in that term, but Ed Woodward's better than him in terms of making money for the club.
I think so. Yeah, I think with Gil,
it's kind of like
Gil and Fergie were more about United. Woodward is more about the Glazers.
Yeah,
they came from United point of view.
Yeah.
But he comes from a Glazers point of view.
Some would argue Fergie protected them.
I think Fergie backed himself into a little bit of a corner with the whole JP McManus horse spunk scenario.
Like a Gibraltar.
Yeah, let's
we lost the club over
a horse.
Horse semen.
A bloody horse.
Semen.
Semen. Horse semen. The stud rights to that. That's what it is. I think he didn't want to go toe to toe with another owner or whatever. Plus, there was an element of Fergie being able to cope without massive investment, but he didn't just cope, he excelled. But yeah, what we've seen since then, since Fergie left and since Gil left, it's just been a shambles. It's been a mess. You know, we've hit the target a few times with likes of Pogba, with likes of Martial since Fergie left. But a lot of our signings, you go back to the Di Marias, the Falcaos.
Just
throwing
times.
Money at a lot of things. Just like no plan behind them. What system we're going to play. You go into the season and we didn't even know where we were going to play Di Maria. Like, you're playing like a five. You try playing a five at the back.
I've seen Di Maria playing up front once for United.
No, you know what happened to Van Aan? You know that Leicester game?
Yeah.
That Leicester ruined him. We were playing amazing football, yeah. We went 3-1 up and we lost 5-3.
He changed the team a lot.
That day, it made him think, I ain't attacking like that anymore.
That
Di Maria goal.
Yeah.
Oh.
That game had a lot to answer for. That's the game that Leicester realised they could win the league.
And that's the game where Van Gaal realised.
That's the game Jamie Vardy realised he could play football.
Louis Van Gaal's army.
Oh, look, I miss Louis. The mental guy.
What? You're on your own on that one.
I was doing crosswords
at Old Trafford when he was the manager.
Fell on the floor against Arsenal, didn't he?
Yeah, that was probably the highlight.
FA Cup run, can never forget that.
All right, fair enough. Give that one.
Martial against Everton.
Oh. We were sat together for that, weren't we? We were stood.
I was watching the fan cams from that with you, Gaz Drinkwater. I think you popped up on it. You all look about 12. Seriously.
I was watching the 5 years.
And worse for wear as well, a lot of you.
I was 17.
Yeah, but it was like the first bit of special happiness we've had since Fergie left, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In about 3 years.
I think we sort of knew Van Gaal.
But for trips to Wembley, even the final was mental.
That final.
No, that's what I'm talking about. That Wolves game, man.
Oh. My dad's still disappointed.
We could have been having a mini bus up to Wembley.
Seriously.
Oh, mate. That would have been
semi-final. It's all right, though. We're getting flights to Madrid, aren't we?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Hey.
Can we drive to Madrid?
Should I actually drive to Madrid?
You can drive to Madrid.
Yeah. This happens with Brexit, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially for me. I don't know.
I won't be able to get back in.
Post to leave in May. Late May.
Everyone's at least 4 years getting back. It's a struggle.
Why are you paying for my flight if we get there?
Andy, tell you what, if we get to Madrid, right, you can hold me to this, you'll come in with us. Right? There you go.
If we get to Madrid.
Yeah, if we get past Barcelona and Liverpool. Hey,
Andy Tate is leading the way. We'll sort you out.
Yeah, he's driving the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Can I, off Manchester United's topic, I do want to ask this and I don't want to ask it. It's just a touchy subject. But I'm going to ask it anyway. How long have we got left? Oh, this is a controversial subject to be going out on, you know.
Come on, drop it.
Go on.
Drop some
Cardiff news. City. I think they're being absolute bastards over not paying for Emiliano Sala.
I agree. They're washing
their
hands of him.
How can FIFA say that a transfer is complete and then you say, I'm not paying now because he's dead?
They're disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It's insulting to the guy's memory.
Do you know what? You can either have it one way or the other. It's like we're going back to before about racism. You can either say, right, he's not our player. We didn't sign a deal. We didn't get it over the line. He's nothing to do with us. Or you can say, he's our player. We're going to have a memorial for him. We're going to fly over to Nantes. We're all going to cry on the pitch. We're going to hold up pictures of him. We're going to light candles for him. We're going to celebrate his name. We're going to retire his number. We're going to do all this other stuff.
But he's not
because
our
he's our player. Or you can have it, he's not our player. You can't have it both ways. You can't do all this crying and all this memorials and all the rest of it and then say, oh, actually, you know what? He's not our player at all.
Doesn't insurance cover it, or they're waiting for them to sort it or something like that?
Basically, Nantes are saying, where's my motherfucking money?
Yeah.
Well, can't they just wait till the inquiry?
I think it's three payments.
Can't they just wait till
the
inquiry and what happened and just respect the family's wishes? For God's sake.
But ultimately, it's business.
Two people have lost their lives.
Ultimately, it's business, though, Andy. And that is a sad state of affairs that football is in. It is now business. But I understand it. Go and get your paper. But at the same time, it's a bit dodgy to me. I was reading it. It's like you're appealing to FIFA to not pay his transfer fee. What the hell?
And then you hear about him organising
his own plane rides and all that, and it's like,
yeah, because I know lots of footballers are experts on plane rides. That sounds like a load of nonsense, that, doesn't it? I just think it is horrible and it's sad. I feel for his family because obviously, you know, they're going through this turmoil of losing a son or a brother or whatever, and then you've got to see it all being dragged through FIFA and the courts and all the rest of it, and people passing the buck and not paying. And obviously the family are going to get some money out of this as well, which, you know, they're no doubt it's not going to make up for the fact they've lost.
I had sympathy for Cardiff. After what happened, when it happened,
I wanted them to stay up.
We've got them on the last day of the season.
Let's face facts, yeah. As a United fan, you can relate to it. Let's be idiots to not say, you know, it brings back that sort of feeling of that memory of what happened at Munich. But the way Cardiff have gone about things, it is distasteful and it doesn't sit right. And especially, yeah. And I think, yeah, I get where you're coming from, Mackie. It's business and all the rest of it. But I don't think you can have all this song and dance about he's your player and you miss him and all this. And, you know, we're all gutted and devastated. And when you score a goal, you hold up
forever
a picture of him.
Forever a bluebird and all that stuff.
You know what I mean? The manager's crying, all the players are crying and you're hugging each other and holding up his picture. And then a month later say, do you know what? We ain't paying for him. Guys, dead, we ain't paying for that.
You can't have that.
That doesn't sit right with me at all.
I think Jay summed it up best, to be honest. On a more lighter note, Wally's of the Weeks.
I am Adam McCollum.
Nick, you piss off with your music and your pictures. Yeah, of course I've seen the video. That's why I just said that. He looks so chuffed.
You, Nick, mate. We're going to have to get you your own little show, honestly. Nick
Mays
and Macca
is a cheap version of Victor Lindelof that we have.
Macca and Nick, they do a lot of travelling. They're going to be doing a lot of travelling to Barcelona because they're going on a special tour. The flights that have been booked for them, you're not going to see them back in Manchester for a little while, trust me.
Can I say the flight
it
that
is
we've
a round
to...
trip for you boys.
We go from Macedonia and we go past Spain.
You've got to have a lot of jabs. Back into Spain. You've got to have a lot of jabs. Got to get some visas sorted.
Is it Brexit's fault?
Yeah, it's all Brexit, honestly. It's not our budget, it's Brexit.
Could never be me, that.
Wally of the Week, I'm going to go with the Montenegro fans.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them. Put them all in the box together.
Gareth Southgate for the way he handled it and what he said.
Who'd have thought Gareth Southgate would be so ace?
I remember Roy Keane was stamping on him. I was like, go on, Roy.
When he got a point, I was like, Gareth Southgate, what a muppet. Actually a legend.
Yeah, he's done well. But yeah, Montenegro fans?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Is there any other Wallys? Jim White.
Oh,
Jim White, Wally of the Week. Talk shite.
Yeah. Jim White, Wally of the Week. And I'll tell you why. Jim White today was on the radio saying he's going to once and for all settle racism.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Very nice.
Thanks, Jim White. I think he's going to change his name to Jim Black and that'll solve it all.
Jim Afro-Caribbean.
And then secondly, One of his colleagues on the show was saying, if I came to work and someone was being racist here, my company's got a duty of care to stick up. When within 24 hours earlier, their breakfast show co-host colleague was being racist. You couldn't make it up, but Jim White gets Wally of the Week from me. Montenegro fans get Wally of the Week from those guys.
Yeah.
Get your comments in below on Wally of the Week. I promise we'll try not to talk about Raheem Sterling and stuff like that.
Get back to
positive light, we can get back to hating him next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything, any final words from anyone?
3 points this weekend and we're getting to fourth place.
Ollie's being announced.
Ollie's still at wheel again.
Ollie's better get prepared.
I think he'll be announced after we beat Barca at home.
No, he's got to be announced at the end of the season. Let's keep this ball rolling. Mm. I don't want it announced.
Andy wearing a... Is that a Kaiser Chiefs jumper, Andy?
No, that. It's rugby top.
Who's the Chiefs?
New Zealand. Kaiser Chiefs, New Zealand rugby team.
I thought Kaiser Chiefs was from South Africa.
Yeah.
Play football.
And there's a New Zealand rugby team as well.
I thought they were banned from Leeds.
From Leeds?
Yeah, Kaiser Chiefs from Leeds, aren't they?
Yeah, Ruby.
I predict it right and all that. We all like Leeds scum.
Yeah, typical Leeds fans, isn't it? I predict it right, you know what I mean? Oh, it'd be nice then back in the Premier in the next season.
Will it? Yeah, you won't get me at Elland Road again.
Says you who doesn't have to do fan cams at Elland Road.
Yeah.
You want to roll on that one?
66 was a great year for English football.
That's the final.
Eric was born.
Hey, you want to do it down the road in like Sheffield or something?
We'll get a good green screen for that. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for watching. iTunes still haven't accepted our submission. We'll have to get someone on it.
We'll sign
But we're on Spotify, we're on SoundCloud, we're on YouTube. Make sure you're keeping it locked. Any suggestions as well, any questions you want us to talk about in next week's podcast, let us know and we will do that. We got some fun stuff coming up with Wes Brown soon as well. Yes. Any questions you want, get him in there. Have I spoiled that?
No, not spoiled anything, man. You sing that from the rooftops, yeah. Man. One of my favourite ever United players.
Wes Brown, the second greatest centre-half to play for Manchester United after Rio Ferdinand. Jay agrees with that.
I'd say the third after Rio and Stan, but I'm just being a bit biased. Okay, I've got a bit of a soft spot for Yap Stan.
I'll allow that. Anyway, guys, make sure you subscribe and like and comment and share in. We're gone.
Social Podcast Network.